Hello, I'm Hillary McClure, Vice President of Multimedia Productions at Cybercrime Magazine. Welcome to Talking Cyber, a Cybercrime Radio segment where we discuss the latest news and breaking stories of the cyber economy, hackers, intrusions, privacy, security, and much more. Joining us today is Heather Engel, Managing Partner of Strategic Cyber Partners. Heather, welcome. Thanks so much for coming on the show so last minute.
Hi, Hillary. How are you doing?
Good, good. There's a lot of buzz right now, especially on LinkedIn that I'm seeing. And this story we're going to cover is just, I don't know, I think there's a lot to unpack here. I guess to level set for everyone, and Heather, as you know, a few months ago, Uber admitted to covering up a massive cyber attack that happened in 2016. They failed to report it to the FTC that they were hacked. And that hack exposed the confidential information of 57 million customers and drivers. And then yesterday, or like yesterday evening, I feel like the story broke like right around 6 p.m. last night. Joe Sullivan, the former chief security officer at Uber during that time when that hack occurred, he was found guilty of obstructing justice during that breach, keeping the breach from the FTC, and of actively hiding a felony. So Heather, wanted to have you on here for this special episode of Talking Cyber to have you kind of take us through the story further, as well as what the implications are for security leaders everywhere. Because like I mentioned earlier, I'm seeing a lot of outrage, for lack of a better word, within the LinkedIn community of security leaders that I'm connected to and follow.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of outrage over this one. And, you know, in part, it's because this is such a difficult case in terms of unpacking what really happened, but also who should be held responsible. Should it just be the chief security officer? Because clearly there were other people at Uber that not only approved this at the time, but, you know, now were actually used to testify against Mr. Sullivan as part of this case, particularly on the legal side, which I thought was really interesting. Essentially, Uber was notified by hackers that this data had been downloaded. It was obviously a lot of data, and they were directed to Uber's bug bounty program, which is really common. Most large companies have some sort of a bug bounty program like this, where, you know, if I'm a white hat hacker or I'm a security researcher and I find a bug in someone's code or in their website, you know, there's motivation there then for me to let the company know and give them the chance to fix it. And in exchange, you know, you get what's called a bug bounty. So essentially, you're crowdsourcing some of your security to find some of these code vulnerabilities. So in this case, the attackers had said they already had the data. They wanted much more than was offered under the bug bounty program. It was $10,000 under the bug bounty payout versus $100,000 under, or what these attackers were asking for. So there's already a little bit of an issue there with trying to handle it that way. We can look at it from both sides, right? If I'm a CISO, the CISO has a really tough job because you basically have to be perfect. You don't get credit for the attacks and things that you stop every single day, but you get a lot of the blame, you know, whether that's justly so or unjust, you get a lot of the blame when an attack happens. And so in this case, I think Mr. Sullivan went back to other executives at Uber. The decision was made collectively, but he's the one now really taking the fall with looking at, I think, potentially 5 years in prison was what I saw.
In the Washington Post article that I read, what was really interesting, and I think a really great point that they made, is that in the years since Sullivan was the CSO at Uber, payoffs to extortionists who have stolen data has become so routine that it's just like, you know, so they're kind of hanging him for things that since people are doing constantly. They're like making an example of him, but now that's very normal. And I thought that was an interesting point.
One of the things that was brought up that I think not a lot of companies are aware of, or, you know, at least when I'm working with clients, sometimes they don't have a really good understanding of what they're allowed to do in terms of paying a ransom. And sometimes it depends on where the attackers are headquartered. There are watch lists and US government regulations, at least, that there are certain groups you can't negotiate with and you can't pay a ransom. And if you do, that's in violation of US law. So there's some difficulties there. You know, at the time that this happened, 2016, so we're talking about 6 years ago, it was a little bit different of an environment because right now it is really common to pay a ransom and it doesn't often get reported. But very often, you know, if you have to make the choice between losing all of your data and essentially starting your business from scratch or paying a ransom, even if there's no guarantee that you're going to get the decryption key or that your data is going to be safe, you're going to pay that just to try to recover it. And there are cyber liability policies in some cases that will cover the cost of a ransom payment. So it is something that's very tricky. I would have to wonder, it was a unanimous decision by the jury. I would have to wonder if one of the questions when they were selecting that jury was their data, was that juror's data part of this? Because, you know, that was the first thing I thought of. It would be really hard to find someone, 57 million people, it might be tricky to find someone who wasn't part of this breach.
To continue the conversation on tricky things, you mentioned it being a part of a bug bounty program, and bug bounties can usually require non-disclosures, which can sometimes last in perpetuity, just forever. And some folks are alleging that, you know, these bug bounty programs are basically being misused to hide vulnerability information. And so it seems like perhaps that's kind of the gray area that maybe they were playing within. I don't know. That's my speculation, but it's interesting. It's an interesting point, since especially bug bounty has super taken off in the past few years.
You know, you could argue that a company that has a bug bounty program is being proactive in terms of trying to identify and find their security vulnerabilities. And in a lot of cases, there isn't going to be a notification requirement if there hasn't been a breach of data. I mean, who are you going to tell? If someone lets me know that there's a bug in my code under a bug bounty program, who am I supposed to be reporting that to? That can be really difficult. You know, even under this one, if you look at what the FTC says, there on their website, it specifically says you report if there's protected health information under the health breach notification rule. So again, you know, we don't know all of the data that was compromised. I didn't see anything stating specifically whether it was just personally identifiable information or whether there was health information included in there. I also did a little bit of research just to see what does the FTC require you to report? What's the guidelines? What's the requirements? And, you know, what I came up with just in a cursory review a few minutes before we got on this call was under the health breach notification rule, you have to report, but it can be difficult. You know, a lot of my clients have this problem, whether they're talking about government data, PII, sometimes, you know, GDPR, if you have data on European citizens, it can be difficult to know who to report to and when and where. And that's why you rely on the guidance of legal counsel. And one of the things that was very clear in the Washington Post article is that Uber's legal team was involved in this. They were aware of it. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the lawyer who specifically was involved and named ended up testifying for the prosecution. So, you know, basically turned on the chief security officer.
Making it seem like an even more thankless job, for sure. I mean, that's brutal.
Rightly so. You know, that those of us who work in information security, and if you're a chief information security officer or a chief security officer or even a CIO in some companies, you know, you recognize that there's a pretty big risk to that job, right? And the risk is that if you have a data breach, someone's going to take the fall for it, and it's probably going to be you. So you know, I think we recognize that to some extent working in this kind of a job, but they're also, you know, as evidenced by this case, there's a lot of nuance as to who should be involved and be held accountable and what is the standard that we're holding companies to.
It's going to be interesting that I know that the judge didn't set a date for sentencing, and I'm sure, I mean, my guess, if I was him, would be that Sullivan would appeal. There's a lot more ahead for this story for sure.
Definitely. And we'll look to see how this unfolds, right? And if maybe they will turn around and prosecute some of the other people that are named in the story. But, you know, like I said, it's a difficult job to be a chief information security officer or even just to work in IT security, because this is the kind of environment that you work in where there's a lot of unknowns. You basically have to be perfect at your job to feel like you're safe at in this kind of an environment. So we'll look to see how it unfolds, I think, as we see the sentencing. And like you said, I would probably appeal.
Thank you so much, Heather, for joining me on this special breaking edition of Talking Cyber. Really enjoyed hearing your perspective on the story. And like you said, we'll look to the future as things start to unfold more with this story.
Thanks so much for talking to me, Hillary.
I'm Hillary McClure. Vice President of Multimedia Productions at Cybercrime Magazine. Talking Cyber is a Cybercrime Radio segment that discusses the latest news and breaking stories of the cyber economy, hackers, intrusions, privacy, security, and much more. To keep up with the latest security and privacy news updated daily, visit us at cybercrimewire.com.